Hello and welcome to Your Best Self, a podcast about careers. I'm your host, Faye Rowlands, lawyer and journalist, and together in this podcast, we'll hear from inspirational people spanning the worlds of business, politics, law, media, science, art, and more, sharing what they love most about their jobs, how they handle setbacks, and offer listeners their tips to career success. I hope this podcast informs and inspires you to think big and encourages you to go after the dream job you want. My guest on the podcast this week is Michelle McDade. Michelle is the Director of Engineering at WorkHuman. This Irish HR tech company achieved unicorn status last year when it received a $1.2 billion valuation. The company employs 700 people globally and its product development team is based here in Dublin. WorkHuman's mission through its social recognition programme is to make work more human for people and organisations worldwide. Michelle is a passionate supporter of women in science, technology, engineering and mathematics, or STEM, careers. She has used her leadership platform at WorkHuman to drive diversity and inclusion initiatives and was an influential figure in the company's decision to join the 30% Club. In 2019, she was shortlisted as a trailblazer in her industry at the Dublin Tech Summit Women in Tech Awards. Her career has taken lots of interesting twists and turns. She traded in a successful career in business and finance to start afresh in the information technology sector, where she quickly rose through the ranks before arriving at her current role in WorkHuman. In this podcast, she gives some great advice to young people looking to forge a career in the technology field. She's so refreshingly down to earth and very clearly passionate about her work. I really enjoyed our discussion and I hope that you will too. Michelle McDade, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Faye. Delighted to be here.
Michelle, you are a big proponent of diversity in the workplace. You're a big advocate of women in STEM. So I'm really, really excited to speak with you today. Perhaps you could start by sharing with our listeners a little of your own background and how you came to your current role as Director of Engineering at WorkHuman.
I worked in various business operations roles within AIB for many years. And my manager, actually, at the moment, he commented to me before that he was surprised I stayed so long in one organisation because I love change. But in AIB, there was an opportunity to take on different roles and I always challenged myself and push myself out of my comfort zone. So I didn't stay in any role a long time. Gained a lot of business experience, but I was working as a tester and kind of the roles were less clearly defined back then. I was in a business analyst role on a project and a lot of the software developers I was dealing with kept commenting that I should be in IT or in technology. So I looked into this and at the time I never thought there would be an opportunity to do this, but there was an aptitude test that they ran in AIB and I did it and did really well in it. And my manager at the time kind of convinced me that it wasn't a good idea because I was in a leadership role at the time in the business side and I would have to start at zero again. But I believed that it was something that I really would be interested in and I thought I needed a change. So I went for it. I think part of the problem, I guess, was that I was starting at zero. I hadn't done a computer science degree. I had to learn everything kind of as I went. I did a few different courses, leaned on the people around me and learned a lot. But I think what I did bring was the business knowledge and understanding some complex business systems. So that actually helped me a lot.
And what was it that prompted you, Michelle, to make that transition towards a more technology-oriented role?
Yeah, I guess when I was in different business roles, I was always looking at ways to automate things. I was looking at, better way, process efficiencies. I was always interested in technology and better ways of doing things. And I would have worked with the people that supported the systems we used a lot to come up with better ways. So of doing things. So I think it was just something I was interested in. I just really didn't think it was an opportunity that I could take.
And you mentioned there that you had done a number of courses, that you leaned on a number of people for support. How did you find that transition adapting to this new role? You had obviously all this business knowledge that you could harness, this people management skills, but this was a whole new area for you. How did you adapt to that new challenge?
I actually found it very tough, to be honest. It was hard, and there was times when I thought, what have I done? But I did really find then, as I, made changes to systems and got input feedback from some of the business users on the impact of the changes that I was making. And I was able to influence people. There was things that I knew, some of the systems we supported were really business critical, and I understood the impact of systems being down or data being wrong. And I was able to make changes that made big improvements. So I think I just saw the benefit of it and kept going.
What was it then, Michelle, that attracted you to your current role as Director of Engineering at WorkHuman?
Yeah, so in AIB, the last role I was in was manager of a software development team, and the team was being outsourced. So at that time, I was thinking about, it was a good time for me to think about moving to a new company and new role. I moved to Fidelity Investments at the time, and I thought it would be a good cultural fit. And I learned a lot over 2.5 years in Fidelity. I then decided that it was time for me to do something different. And I was thinking about setting up a coaching business. Actually, I'd trained as a coach that year. And it was something I'd always been doing in my job anyway. But when the WorkHuman role came up, one of my friends remarked, if you were to write a job spec for you and find a company, there wouldn't be anything that could be better aligned. The culture, the value of recognition, gratitude, it's everything I believed in. So it was a really, really great fit.
So you felt that there was a real cultural alignment there, that you had a real belief in espouse those same sort types of values of the company.
Yeah, and I think that's something that it took me many years to actually get clued into the importance of aligning your personal values with the culture and the values of a company that you work for. And a lot of companies, have values written on the wall, but they don't live the values. So when I was interviewing for WorkHuman, I asked so many questions, and I thought very seriously about, what are these people like, that would I like to work with them? And when I went for each interview, every conversation, I was really just bought in.
And you mentioned earlier, we mentioned that you're a big proponent of diversity in the workplace, and in particular, encouraging young women into STEM-based careers. Do you think that we are doing enough in this space at the moment to encourage women into this area?
No, but I think we're doing some, but I think that we're on a journey, there's a lot to do. And sometimes I feel quite, hopeful, and I think, oh, we've made a lot of progress. And then you look at metrics and you think, actually, no, we've a huge way to go. I think, there's a lot we need to do. Like, I guess we're developing products for a customer base that's 50-50 male, female. And, we don't have enough women's voices being heard in design decisions as part of, in every aspect of the software development. I think it's really important that we have a diverse set of voices.
And I know you've spoken in the past, Michelle, about, the significance of role models, that if you can't see it, you can't be it, or certainly it's a lot harder to be it when you haven't seen it. And I know you've also spoken about a lot of significant females in the technology and the technical sectors who have had an impact. Why do you think, that they are not to the forefront of our public consciousness? Why do you think maybe there's a lacking of information there about the achievements of that things that people have already achieved?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting, and like I could talk to you about this for days. But I think that, we're operating in a business world that was designed by men for men. And, it's not out of any, I think people are not even aware sometimes, for example, things like even job specs, we looked at our job descriptions and made them gender neutral. I did that when I was in Fidelity Investments, and the following week we got 3 applicants from females. We'd had none up to that date on this particular role. So I think that, if you think back, like, it's the history of the world, really. There's been females involved in so many of the technical innovations, but do we know about all of them? I know we celebrate Ada Lovelace every year, who was the first computer programmer. A woman designed Wi-Fi. There's so many females in history. And, you know, sometimes there's this misconception that, oh, well, girls just aren't as interested in this, in STEM subjects. You know, this changed. This wasn't always like this. And there's a lot of things that can be done to help people, like girls at different ages, to know more about these females that had such an impact, and understand that this is actually, there's myths there about, you know, about women and girls in technology.
And these sort of misconceptions that you speak of surrounding the more technical fields, the technology field, is that something that persists to this day, do you think, or are mindsets beginning to shift around that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I attended a really interesting workshop run by, it was a 30% club workshop run by Peter Cosgrove. At the time, he was director in CPL, and it was called Building Inclusion. And one of the things he did in it was have us stand at one side of the room, and he read out statements. And if the statement meant something to you, you know, if you identified with it, you walked across the room, and he asked us to look at, notice who was with us and notice who wasn't. And one of the statements was, if your opinion has been disregarded because of your gender. And so many times I and it hasn't happened to me, I have to say, in Workhuman, but in my career, so many times I've been speaking about something, no response, and then a guy says it and it's brilliant. And, you know, it's not their fault. It's just it's a bias or whatever. But when I looked around, I noticed only women walked across the room, and I thought, wow, you know, to think that that has not been something that's affected you when it affects so many women so many times, you know, in their working career. And I went back to my team and I ran through some of the videos that had been shared. And some of the guys in the room said to me, well, Michelle, this might have happened at the start of your career, but this doesn't happen anymore, you know. And I did actually question myself and think, oh, maybe. And I asked the women in the room, and, you know, they were young women in their 20s, and they all said, yeah, I've experienced this, you know. So it was quite interesting. I think it's, you know, privilege is invisible to those who have it. You don't actually realize the things that are affecting the women around you. So the more voices of women you have, to be able to, you know, if you have one woman, you're another, you're a person who has, it's harder for you to speak up and be heard. We need to have more voices of women, and every different aspect of culture, you know, needs to be represented.
And I suppose, looking specifically at the STEM sector, what more can we do to encourage young women at a young stage to choose STEM educational pathways?
Yeah, like, I think there's a lot of things that are happening. You know, in Workhuman, we partner with Teen Turn to bring young girls in from some of the local schools to experience what it's like to work in a tech company, and to understand that it's broader than just programming. You know, there's a lot of different roles that you can take on, like UX design or product owner, that, you know, it's just to broaden their experience. We also partner with Women Reboot. So last year we brought in four women returners who have been out of the workplace for a long period, and gave them work experience. And we actually ended up offering three of them permanent roles. And one of them, she actually got a role herself during the programme. So I think there are things that we can do. There's Coder Dojo. I'd also say, you know, best intended parents can sometimes have unconscious biases. And, you know, I would encourage parents, uncles, aunts, friends, grandparents to think about, you know, their words, their actions, and to think, do you treat your girls and boys the same? Do you do stuff unconsciously that maybe may, and those things can have a lasting impact on girls. They may just think that this is not even open to me. The other thing to talk about there is, you know, the leaky pipeline. You know, we get like we put a lot of focus on trying to get girls interested in STEM subjects, but we have women that we lose. And a lot of that is to do with culture, and it's to do with lack of flexibility. You know, and I think that we need to put enough focus on keeping the women that we have in technology as well. A lot of women leave technology but don't leave the workplace. So, you know, that's a really important thing to focus on. I also think that, you know, men need to be part of the conversation. And we have a women's network in WorkHuman. There's a lot, we're kind of on a journey. There's a lot more we need to do. But a lot of men want to be allies, but they don't actually know how to do it. They don't know what to do. And sometimes they may say or do the wrong thing. And it's not about shaming men. It's about helping them to understand how they can actually support women. And there's a lot more men in senior roles that have opportunities to do that.
I think also sometimes in the early days, women can nearly, you know, be their own worst enemy and be self-critical themselves and talk themselves out of a potentially brilliant career in the technology sector. I know you've spoken previously as well about the instance of the SAT scores, where when, you know, men scored higher than women at their SATs, but then once you remove negative marking, that actually then it was far more balanced in terms of aptitude of subjects like mathematics and things like that.
Yeah, and I think they've shown that if before doing a maths exam, if you're told that boys are better than girls, that the girls will all score lower, if that's actually said to them just before they do the exam. So, like, you know, believing in themselves is a really important thing. And I think that there's a lot we can do to encourage women. Like, I think, you know, imposter syndrome, I've experienced it myself. I've spoken about it. I've spoken about, you know, I think women sometimes think, oh, there's a new role, there's an opportunity for me, but I've more to do in this role. There's always more to do in every role. But thinking about, you know, maybe this is a role for me to say yes to, and not talking themselves out. And I've done this myself. I've talked myself out of applying for things and, you know, realized, you know what, I was as qualified as anyone else for that, you know.
And then I suppose, speaking on the leaky pipeline, you are somebody who's achieved considerable success. You've reached a leadership role in the technology field. You've also raised a family. What was that like for you, I suppose, juggling those two things together?
I'm not going to lie, it was hard. And I think the thing we need to remember is women have different needs at different parts of their career and their life stages. I was lucky in AIB that I had some great bosses that gave me the flexibility I needed. I was able to work remotely. I worked a 4-day week. I changed my hours a number of times, changed the format of it. That made a huge difference. And there was times when, if I hadn't had that flexibility, I certainly would have left. But knowing that I had it, it really made such a difference. I think also understanding the impact that you're having and, you know, feeling like you're serving a purpose. I think at one stage I was at the top of the IT career path and I was told there was an opportunity, but I would have to go back full time. And at that time, I didn't want to do that because I wanted to be able to collect my girls from school. So I felt like I wasn't really being challenged. So at that time, I trained as a reflexologist and I studied Indian head massage and nutrition. And that made me feel fulfilled. And it got me through that time where I was doing my shorter hours and not achieving as much as I'd like to have from that point of view, but it kept me motivated.
And you've also said you're involved in executive and leadership coaching and that this is an area that's important to you. Why is that important to you at this stage in your career?
Yeah, I did a course many years ago in AIB and you had to ask some of your co-workers and your close friends and family, if you weren't in this role, what else would you be? And the most common answer was coach. And to be honest, I didn't do anything about it for many years. I kept talking about doing this coaching diploma. Finally did it in 2018, but I was really effectively coaching in my roles. But I just can see the impact it can have, you know, helping people to do their best work. And I would be of the opinion that, you know, if somebody's not doing a great job in a role, it may be that they need some direct feedback. It may be that people aren't being candid with them about what they can do better. But it may be that they're in the wrong role. And I really do think that everybody, there's a role for everybody. And if you're not working to your strengths, you know, it's not good for you or the company to be in that role. So I think helping people to understand their purpose and to know what they can do best, I think is really impactful. And I can see the benefit that I've had when people have believed in me and helped me. And I find it really, really rewarding to be able to coach people. And I'm very much about empowering people, enabling people, but not, my leadership style would be very much, you know, step back out of the way then and let people do what they know how to do best.
What qualities do you think make a good leader in business or a good manager?
I think curiosity is really important. I think, you know, being interested in what's going on with people that you work with and asking questions. And I do love to talk myself, but I have to remind myself to stay silent and listen to people. And I find when you ask questions, you can make assumptions, but if you ask enough questions, you actually find out so much. I think it's really important to be empathic and to care about the people that you work with and understanding, you know, your own strengths and what strengths may go into overdrive. I did an awful lot of work on understanding, you know, myself. And we did a leadership program in AIB where I received feedback that my abilities were very high, but my confidence was like 3 out of 10 or something. And I put a huge effort into learning, you know, reading, doing a lot to help my confidence. And I would do things, for example, even doing this podcast interview, you know, my first feeling is no. you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And if it's not challenging and difficult, you're not learning. You know, when it's not interesting to be cruising along just doing what you know how to do. You know, I really do believe in growth mindset. And I think that, I guess some of this comes from my mother was the only girl and she had 3 brothers and her father decided she didn't need to go to college, only the boys did. And all her life she has been on this path of learning. And, you know, when I was in primary school, she was learning Greek in UCD. She would speak loads of languages, you know, and I think helping you to understand the value of always learning and being curious, I think is really important. So having a growth mindset for a leader is really important as well, you know, that you don't write people off and that you can see what's good about people and that you can be authentic and honest and not afraid to say, actually, I don't know the answers. That's really important as well, I think.
And you've said before in the past that you believe emotional intelligence is almost a greater predictor of success than a person's IQ. What does emotional intelligence mean to you? And is that something that's intuitive, that's already set, or is that something that can be cultivated?
I think, you know, some people are naturally strong in emotional intelligence, but the good news is we can all improve our emotional intelligence. And, you know, understanding yourself is one part of it. We recently did the insights preferences as an engineering leadership team. And, you know, I find you learn so much. But it also helps you understand, you know, different interactions, how you like to hear things, how other people hear information. You know, if you're a details person and then somebody's giving you a very high level, you could be getting frustrated. And you know, that affects relationships. So the more you know, understand about yourself and also about others, it's going to improve performance. And I think it's really important. So it's not just about yourself, it's also understanding your impact and how you're coming across. And I think, again, like questioning and asking people for feedback. In WorkHuman, part of our tool is a feedback opportunity. So people would be encouraged to use the tool to seek feedback. And I think that's really helpful. One of the things we're doing at the moment is actually doing some workshops on radical candor and trust. So encouraging people to give people the feedback they need to improve. Because if you don't give people feedback, you know, you can rob them of opportunities of promotion, or, you know, it's a learning opportunity that is you're keeping to yourself rather than sharing it.
And can I ask you, what is one of the aspects of your role, your day-to-day role, that you really enjoy?
I'm definitely an extrovert and I love working with people. I get my energy from people. So I really enjoy just even talking to the people that I'm working with. I feel really overall, if I was to summarize, it's enabling people to do the best work that they can, you know, and to achieve their potential and to be able to deliver amazing features for our customers. I think it's amazing what can happen when you believe in people and when you empower them and trust them. So I think that's great. Innovation is a big thing in our company. So, you know, we would have every half year, people would present ideas of new ideas that they have for our product. And there would be, you know, a few shortlisted and then a top three. And I just love seeing the new ideas that people have. But when you're talking about understanding yourself and emotional intelligence, one of the things we did before was the Bell and team roles. And my top one is resource investigator. So it's bringing people together, bringing outside resources and information in. But my second one is plant, which is idea generator. So I'm always interested in new ideas and I get great energy from that.
And where does that curiosity come from, do you think?
Well, I guess it probably is that love of learning, you know, and seeing how things can be different. And I find it a helpful, you know, when somebody says something that triggers you or somebody gives you feedback that you don't like, I think it's really helpful to approach that with curiosity and try and understand and ask more questions. You know, it can be really helpful. And, you know, when you're talking about what I love about my job, I love that I'm actually trusted and listened to and valued. I think they are really important things for me, and I'm sure for everybody. But I feel in this role, I get to get involved in so many things that I never did before, and I'm trusted to do them. You know, one of the examples was last year, I'd seen Anita Sands, who I don't know if you've come across her, but she's on the board of directors of a lot of tech companies in Silicon Valley. She's from Ireland, but I'd seen her speak at InspireFest, and I basically stalked her and asked her, would she come in and speak in Workhuman? And when I was asking who will interview her, we were doing a fireside chat. Somebody suggested that I should do it. And I was very taken aback because I'd never done anything like that before. I'd never conducted an interview. And I initially was thinking, no, I don't want to ruin this. But I did it. And it was one of the best learning experiences of my life. I just really enjoyed it. And it's a real standout moment in my career.
I think also it's really interesting for people to hear as well of overcoming certain challenges and that growth mindset is really, really important for young people to hear. Because I think often people starting out in their careers can look at people in senior leadership roles and often they don't see what it has taken for people to get to those levels and sort of that growth mindset that's needed. And people maybe starting out can be quite hard on themselves, I think, and not realize at times the importance of adapting or taking on a new challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that people often aren't honest enough about the things that have been challenging for them. And, you know, being vulnerable, I'm a really big fan of Brené Brown, but, you know, I love her books and her podcasts. But she talks freely about, you know, the power of vulnerability and being authentic, you know, and I think it's really important to share what is challenging. And when I was doing that interview, actually, I said at the start, I was terrified to do this. You know, I think for others, because they may think, oh, that's easy for her. I was really scared to do it, but I did it because I thought this is going to be really good experience for me. I think it's important to share what you're struggling with and how others can help you. You know, everybody has challenges. There's always going to be setbacks. And one of the podcasts I was listening to during the lockdown has been Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. And he interviewed Julia Samuel. And it was called The Power of Pain. And basically, you know, she was talking about you're not really learning unless you experience pain. So it may be emotional or physical, but we learn from pain. And I sometimes would say to people, you know, when they're dealing with a difficult situation in work, oh, this is going to be a great interview experience, you know, examples for future interviews, you know, and I think it's maybe maybe sounds a little bit flippant, but I think it's good to understand, use setbacks as learning experiences and to think about what has that taught you. And sometimes when you're stuck in a situation, it may be that there is something that you need to learn.
And Michelle, one final question for you. What advice would you have for somebody who is starting out and maybe interested in a STEM-based career?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about emotional intelligence and being self-aware. It's really important to understand your strengths. You know, there's free tools that you can use to find out your strengths as well. As I mentioned, curiosity is important. Be curious, ask questions. And, you know, people don't like the word networking, but, you know, we have a lot of contacts. It's Ireland is a small place. It's very easy to connect with others and find out what they like about their career. And people are all too interested in sharing information that can help you. There's meetups. I think it's a really great way to sign up for meetups on topics that are interesting to you. So you can go. It's basically free learning, free training. And it's a great way to build connections and see what other companies are doing. Understanding your values, I think, is important. And understanding, you know, researching the companies you're interested in working in. Because I'm finding out, you know, Workhuman were fourth in Great Place to Work for the large category. This year was our first year in the large category. And we were also Great Place to Work for Women. You can research these things and find out what companies are like. And Glassdoor is another way. I think also just really, I guess, understanding your goals and what's important to you. Taking ownership of your career and deciding what way you want to go is really important too.
Michelle McDade, that is such great advice. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Faye.
Thanks for listening to Your Best Self. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit the subscribe button or leave me a review.